Welcome to the Library of Dharma Talks from Boundless Refuge. To learn more, visit boundlessness.org. May you be well, safe, happy, and peaceful.
This is the fourth time I've guided this long retreat, and that feels kind of like a lot. It could be more, but I feel more confidence now in how it works on people and how to do it, more ease and less worry. But I still have been feeling this queasy feeling as we go into this. I think because I've felt so calm, suddenly now I think, oh, there are all these people who look pretty serious and have come to work on something really serious. And that's true, but so I feel like, oh God. and I'm supposed to be in, like, tell them, guide them or something, and help them through this. And I sometimes complain a little to one of my teachers and say, I just feel less zealotry than I used to. I think it's good. She thought that was good, but I don't feel like,
okay.
I don't. Well, that could be good. I heard Suzuki Roshi's teacher once said that he used to feel like a tiger, and now he felt like a cat. And Suzuki Roshi said he seemed pretty happy about being a cat. despite the queasiness, despite the everything that happens in my mind, I'm happy to be here doing this and in this place, this seat, to even if I'm holding not knowing. And uncertainty. I also have thoughts like, at the beginning of the retreat, I should set up this big picture of samsara and the wheel of birth and death and the Eightfold Path and the Four Noble Truths, and really, really whip them up into some sort of fervor. But I don't feel like doing that. I'm sorry. So but I do want to convey, I wouldn't be here if there wasn't something that feels really important to convey or to try to convey through this whole experience together. And I think we have to settle down in order to see that. And what I mean by settling down is we need to become present and open and still with any moment, no matter what that moment's presenting. Really have some acceptance. And then we see the We intuit and we realize. So we come into an experience like this to meet ourselves. We can do it anywhere. There's, from a certain perspective, there's nothing different. There's nothing special. It's just a different experience. Any moment is a good moment. But there is a deep encounter, sometimes called the Zen, sometimes called like going into the Green Dragon's Cave. We're all going into the Green Dragon's Cave here of our mind and all the amazing stories and emotions that it spits up. With less in the world to kind of hide that, where it's just exposed. It's more exposed in this environment. And raw. My closest teacher says, we sit down to meditate and we realize we have two problems, a body and a mind. That's a good noticing. It's a little problematic. Two problems, a body and a mind. Two wonderful things to love, a body and a mind. Two wonderful things to let go of, a body and a mind. There's a transmission story, a story in the transmission of the light, stories of Zen stories of transmission of, I can't remember who right now, but it's a teacher and a student, and students, very dedicated, and says he wants to become a monk, he wants to go forth as a monk. And the teacher says yes. And says, will you go forth as a monk with your body or with your mind? And doesn't say for how long, but this student thinks about this and considers this deeply. And I could see ways in which either answer would be pretty good, to really go forth with your body, really throw yourself into something, or to, on the other hand, to go forth with your mind, to really, not just your body, but with your mind, the spirit of things or something. I actually can't remember what he says, but he says one or the other of them. I go forth with my body or I go forth with my mind. And the teacher's response wakes him up. The teacher says, how can the wondrous, marvelous Dharma depend on body or mind? How can the wondrous, marvelous Dharma depend on body or mind? So this is our, I think our problem, the dukkha problem that we can resolve is this trying to solve our problem with our body or our mind. Body and mind is something to try to take care of, but how can the wondrous, marvelous Dharma doesn't depend on that? If we're trying to depend on that, it's shaky. And we can feel that shakiness. Shaky body, shaky mind. But we can find, through this practice, we can find what's unshakable. And we don't do that through making an unshakable body or an unshakable mind. When you shake, just shake. How can the wondrous, marvelous Dharma depend? Dharma is like nature. It's like things in nature are very strong, but they're in constant change and birth and death Let birth and death be birth and death. Let nature be nature. And settle back into spaciousness, into the way things are. That's why we don't have anything on, not so much anyway, on the altar this year. No Buddha, just a beautiful bunch of space. We're honoring space. We're honoring this capacity of awareness, loving awareness, Buddha awareness. It's here and now. This Buddha awareness is here and now. It's non-dual with this right now. So it's really very simple. There's nothing to get. You can just be. You can just do have the experience you have on this retreat and let it cook you and let it turn you in however ways it does. Respecting each moment for what it is, hopefully. That's the invitation. Respect each moment for what it is. Settle down with each moment. Whatever comes, settle with that. respect that as the Buddha land. And then you'll really be helping out with this, doing your job of being you totally. Not a good Buddhist, not a good meditator, not a good student. I don't want you to be a good student or a bad student. I just want you to be you. And I'm trying to be me. I'm practicing being me. And yeah, so maybe that's enough.
If you found this talk helpful, visit boundlessness.org to explore our offerings and click Give to make a donation. We depend on the generosity of people like you.